Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you, God, for gathering us. God, we know that you want to, God, and you desire to manifest your love here. God, your glory, God, just shining bright. I just pray, Lord, that you would satisfy us today by your word. Oh, Lord, would you stir hunger and thirst in us, God, for the living God. And help us, Lord, God, in your word, that you would manifest your truth. And God, you would allow us, Lord, to grow in wisdom. God, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in our series on just wisdom. And I think last week, we talked about wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, as you can see in Proverbs 9:10. And the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. And then, so we defined wisdom as it just is a kind of a rehearse of last week. It says, let all the earth, Psalm 33:8 says, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. So we have this defining idea in scripture that to fear the Lord is to really to be enamored with God. To be enamored with God. So the beginning of wisdom. Wisdom is a path. So when you say, well, what is the purpose of wisdom? It helps us to make decisions, doesn't it? Right? So we look for wisdom. You know, we pray for guidance. We say, God, you know, help me to discern your will. Help me to decide, you know, which toothpaste to buy. And, but like all paths, the decision we make leads us to something, doesn't it? Right? So all the, especially the important decisions, you know, it calls, where do I live, you know, what city do I go to, you know, where do I work, and all these things, do I leave my job, you know, and all the decisions that we make leads us down a path, and at the end of the path is our goal, isn't it? And so it says the beginning, the fear, to be enamored with God, to want to be enamored with God, is the beginning of wisdom. So wisdom, biblical wisdom, is kind of this idea that it's leading us. What does it say? Right? In the knowledge of the Holy One, to know God, is the ultimate purpose of wisdom. Now, if we want to be wise, but not for that purpose, that would be worldly wisdom. Right? Now, if we want to say, well, what decisions do I make so that I can know God even richer? Now we're getting to biblical wisdom. See the difference? When, if I ask you, what, because the opposite of fear of the Lord is actually the fear of man, right? And the fear of man, It is this idea that we do something so that we receive this validation. It's what we're enamored with. And I think, you know, our children are facing just so much, aren't they? I mean, I was sharing with the youth group. There's a movie called Shining. It's an old movie, you know, made, I think, back in the late 90s. I think I might have saw it in late 80s. Back then, when the movie was made, it was about a man who's a brilliant pianist. He could play a Rachmaninoff song, for those who are classic piano fans. He could play this one classical piece that only three people in the world could play. And he was, you know, just kind of like a little crazy, and was just talking about his journey. But back, I think around 2000-ish, You know, there was a New York Times article interviewing this music studio for, it's like teenagers, and asked the studio person, by the way, you know, there's this movie, this one guy, he played this piano piece, and he says only three people in the world can play. Is there anybody in your studio that can play that piece? And he just looked at him and goes, everybody in my studio can play that piece. That means that those students, okay, fast forward a couple decades, probably could have been concert pianists, okay? Probably about 30 years prior. A lot of high school players nowadays run 4-minute miles. They would have won the Olympic gold medal back in the day. When I was growing up, you know, like if you know, and I'm not the only person, but I learned how to play tennis by going to the library, right? You know, how do you grip that racket and things like that, you know? But nowadays, it's just everybody is mad rush towards excellence. You know, it's just so hard. And Bible calls that fear of man. Like, it's this, we're enamored with something. Right? Nothing wrong with excellence. And God is an excellent God, so there's just this desire to be excellent. Nothing wrong with that. But the point of what we're talking about is there is a call of God to be enamored with only one thing, and that is God. The basis that everything else will be measured, we want to see that. So if I ask you, what are you enamored with that causes you to make decisions? Because what you're enamored with is what is the path that you're going to, is going to be going towards. I'll give you an example. I know you guys are tired of me telling my wife's story and so forth, right? But I don't know if you know, but when you're in love, you're like a little... You know what I'm saying? And one thing when you're in love that you're not is you're not practical. Amen? I don't know, for those who have never been married, you're not practical. Did you know that Ellen was willing to marry me and I was going to live in my mom's basement for years? Years. Not practical. I'm talking more about her now, having a crush on me now, right? And to be honest, I mean, I was in the army. I had to get up, you know, like five, whatever, something in the morning every day to work out, you know, with the unit and all that. I'd be on the phone with Ellen till like past 2 o'clock in the morning. I would fall asleep on the phone with Ellen, right? Getting like 2.5 hours of sleep. Not practical. Not practical. Wisdom is not always practical. You hear what I'm saying? Our journey to be enamored with God is not going to always be worldly practical. It's not always going to make the most wise. It's going to be sometimes counterintuitive. Now, it's not that it's not reasonable, but I want us to be open because the purpose of wisdom is to really to know God. Amen? All right. That's the journey. So Psalm 16:11 says this. You make known to me the path of life. Right? This is God. God is opening up the path that we should go. He's helping us make decisions. In your presence, there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. What is driving the psalmist? It's that... That's where his joy is. That's where his pleasures are, in God. And his path is leading him deeper and deeper into that joy. Psalm 37 says, delight yourself in the Lord. Notice this. And he will give you the desires of your heart. I will tell you this, wisdom is something that you could lose, actually. You know? And it's very humbling, even for me. Because sometimes, even in ministry, even in ministry, right? You can get entangled in such a way as to be confused. Is you're not delighting in the Lord, you're delighting in ministry. And how dangerous is that? And you lose wisdom. You become a little addle-brained. It says, God wants to lavish me. He wants to lavish me. If God had his way, he would probably make us all supermen. You know, athletically excellent and super smart and amazingly beautiful. All that, you know, like everything. But you know, the sad truth of it is, we would not be able to handle that. I know you think, oh, if I won the lottery, I would just be this amazing person. I would all give it away. But we wouldn't. That's the thing. Our lives would come to ruin. You know, power, it corrupts. It does. But you delight yourself in the Lord as you grow in depth and depth. It releases, right? It's saying, God, if you want to give me anything else, it's all subservient to my delight in you. And anything else I might delight in is never going to replace that. And so the psalmist is saying, delight yourself in the Lord, and then what? Then he will give you the desires of your heart. It says, commit your ways to the Lord. Commit your way to delight in him, to know him, and trust in him. Why do we need trust? Why is trust so important? Because we're going to lean on our own understanding. Because delighting in God and knowing God, it's going to cause us to make some tough decisions. And it's not going to always seem so practical. But he will act. That's what it says. Trust in him and he will act. He will make a way for you to come to know him. Revelations 2. Right? Here's the heart of God for us. I was asked, you know, recently. Just, he says, if we thought that Christianity is the only religion that had a personal relationship with God, you know what? It's absolutely true. You know? Like in Islam, that would be sacrilege to have a personal relationship with God, to think of God as personal. That's why in the Old Testament, you rarely find, even in the Jewish faith, you rarely see like this God being addressed even as Father. It's there. But it's rare, you know? It's through the Son that we become children of God, right? This idea of a very personal relationship, a very intimate personal relationship, we are created in the image of God. We're here to know and be known by God. That is the purpose of life. And in Revelation, you know, is a church, the Ephesian church, where being enamored was replaced by duty. Duty. We pick it up. I know your works. This is now Jesus talking to the Ephesian church. I know your works, your toil, and your patient endurance, and how you cannot bear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not, and found them to be false. I know you're enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned your love you had at first. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the works you did at first. The Ephesian church became unwise. Unwise. And Jesus is saying, you know, because the beginning of wisdom is to be enamored and to grow in that enamoredness. And that all of God. Because we can become very dutiful and very religious. And trust me, it is very easy to do that. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will what? If you trust God, he's going to make our path straight. We're gonna come towards him. It's a miracle, actually. We're so prone to lean on our own understanding, you know? And we call that being practical. And practical has its place, but it's subservient to the Word of God. To delight in God is to delight in His Word, because it is the guide. It's a guide, okay, towards God. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through your precepts, I get understanding. Therefore, I hate every false way. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. You know, if our goal is to delight in the Lord, if our aim is to grow in our enamoredness of God, the Word is going to come to light. Oh, it's going to shine. You know, I recently discovered, right? I have this. I got this for, last Christmas, right? I was sharing with the youth group. I listen to it at night now. I didn't realize, you know, how much spiritual attack happens, you know, at night. And I listen to the Word of God. And I just listen to the Word of God. You know what? I can barely get through a couple of chapters before I'm just knocked out. It's better than a sleep aid. You know? And I love His Word. You know? I love, it's, if you have ever had trouble falling asleep, And the Word of God, and you know, just the power of the Word of God. Oh my goodness. You know? Is there anything better than to hear His voice before you fall asleep? It's amazing. And it's amazing when you wake up and you have that to look forward to again. But the Word of God will come to life for you if your goal, okay, is Him. Not, you know, His gifts, His goods. Proverbs 2:4 says this, if you seek it like silver and search for it as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. I just want to pause there. Wisdom, say, God, we have so many obstacles, don't we, in life? Problems that seem so much bigger than God. You know, every day we wake up, you know, and from the moment I wake up, it's like I'm bombarded with how big these obstacles are. And it's just full of anxiety, isn't it? Just full of anxiety. You know, anxiety over my children, anxiety about work and fight, just like bombarded. But here's the thing. Here's the good news. God is so much bigger than our problems. His love is so much greater than our failure. And His nearness is nearer than anything we could imagine. And I forget that, don't we? Every day I need God to be who He is, and that is big. I need to know that He is for me and that there is not any sin or any obstacle, okay, that is so big that I can't draw near to God. If I know that my goal today is God and to know God, then I will seek whatever obstacle is. My biggest obstacle is to draw near to God. My biggest obstacle is to see Him magnified, right? To get that telescope out and to see God and be reminded He is bigger than my problem. It says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. What that means is, whatever obstacle that we have in front of us, right? Because we're so stopped by them, aren't we? We're so stopped. I just can't read the Bible. I can't pray. You know? It's like I'm just too busy. We're so stopped by our obstacles. But God wants nothing more than to give you wisdom. You know? To teach you how to pray. To open up the Word of God and allow us to not be stopped by obstacles, but learn to go through them. Right? Oh, he's so good. He is. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Here's a wonderful verse, Psalm 111. It says, fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Right? Scripture keeps repeating it. It's like there's nothing more important in wisdom. Wisdom only makes sense if our goal is to be enamored with God. And when we come to Christ and we're born again, we have a new heart, and it just, the heart wants what it wants. And we want to have God, because when we become Christians, we have eternity placed inside of us. And nothing will do. Here's a, all those who practice it have a good understanding. Practice what? Practice wisdom? No. All those who practice the fear of the Lord. Does that make sense? That means we are going after being enamored with God, to be in all of Him. And all those who practice that, I want to be enamored by God today. I wake up, I say, God, I want to be enamored. I want to know you. I want to see that you are bigger than my problems. A peace that surpasses understanding. And then in this journey, you know, and I know that many of you have so wisdom. You know, I know you, many of you, and you have wisdom. But if you have wisdom, then you will understand this. 1 Peter 1:8. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that is inexpressible and filled with glory. You don't even know how it happens. And I feel so loved, you know? And I just love him. I just love him. And somewhere along the way, God led us, you know, through and allowed us to grow in wisdom, to draw near to the Almighty God, the creator of the universe. And you love him. And he's like, I love you. I just can't believe you love me. In Psalm 73, it says, whom have I in heaven but you? And there's nothing on earth that I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. If you know that, if this is the goal of your life, whom I have in heaven besides you. There's nothing here on earth that I desire besides you. That's really the beginning of wisdom. That is biblical wisdom. Not his gifts, you know, not some practical wise decision that doesn't lead us. Sometimes our decisions may not always seem practical. But it is, it's not practical to give a significant portion of your income, okay, to the ministry. It's not practical. It isn't. It's not practical to be generous and open up your home. It's not practical, you know? You know, it's just like, why do I do it when it's not so practical? I suffer and, you know, it's not practical to be hospitable. It's not practical to forgive. But it's wise. Why is that practical to be humble? You know? Let others pass you by. But you know what it does do? It draws you closer to the Lord. And if your aim, okay, is to know God, then all those impractical things will begin to make sense. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, oh God, we love you, Lord, and more importantly, God, oh, you love us. You love me, God. You love Lisa. You love Daniel. You love Tyler, God. God, you love us. God, you love Chun, God. Just, God, bless her in her sprinkle, God. Just help us, God, to know you. Touch that void in our hearts. God, help us to be enamored by you. And I pray, Lord, even as we just praise you now and begin to worship you, God, I just pray for your presence, for your love to shine into our hearts, that people will know, God, they're never far, too far from drawing close to you, God. So be with us. Shine your glory in Jesus' name.